Brett, sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Look out! It's only films to be buried with.
The Resurrection!
Hello, and welcome to Films to be Buried With, The Resurrection. My name is Brett Goldstein. I'm a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, a statistician, and I love films. As Albert Einstein once said, the revolution introduced me to art, and in turn, art introduced me to the revolution, and also my mate introduced me to Japanese cinema, and I'll always be grateful for that because I love it. Ah, it sounds like you've got a good mate there, Albert. Nice one. Every week, I invite a special guest over. I tell them they've died. Then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. But not this week! This week, I use my newly acquired shamanic skills and powers to bring a beloved guest back from the dead. And this week, it's the incredible stand-up, writer, actor, and SNL regular, Punky Johnson. Tickets are selling fast for the big live Films to be Buried With live at Hackney Empire on July 2nd. Make sure you get your tickets. Come along, we'll have a right old time. You can get tickets from plosive.co.uk and hackneyempire.co.uk. We'll do the show. We'll do an audience Q&A. You can tell me about the films that mean the most to you. It'll be very special. Come along. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you get an extra 20 minutes with Punky Johnson. I tell you what, in this one, we laugh. There's a secret that is one of the top three secrets we've ever had on the Patreon. It's very rude. We do a lot of rude chat. We talk about beginnings and endings. We laugh, we cry. It's beautiful. Check it out. You get a video, all sorts. Check it out over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. You can watch Ted Lasso Season 1 and 2 on Apple TV Plus, and you can watch Soulmates and Superbob on Amazon Prime in most places. So, that's all that. I hope everyone is well. Punky Johnson. I fucking love Punky Johnson. Punky Johnson, she's one of my favourites. She blew my head off as a stand-up when I first saw her in LA, and now she lives in New York. She's a regular on SNL. It was so good to be able to spend time with her again. We recorded this a few nights ago on Zoom. It's a very funny episode. It's very, very rude. If you don't like naughty business, I don't really know why you're here, but maybe be careful if you get nervous or that sort of thing. There's some naughty business in this episode, I'm sure. Anyway, she's fucking brilliant. This was so fun. So that is it for now. I very much hope you enjoy episode 195 of Films to be Buried With.
The Resurrection!
Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With,
The Resurrection.
It is I, Brett Goldstein, and I am joined today by an actor, a writer, a sketch-co, a stand-up superstar, a legend, a person who has moved from LA to New York for a very exciting reason. She is an SNL cast member regular. She is a genius. She is one of the finest comic brains I ever had the pleasure of being with. Please welcome back from the dead to the show. I can't believe we've got her back. It's the amazing, it's the brilliant, it's the favorite of everyone. It's Punky Johnson!
Stop it.
Punky. Oh,
I am blushing so hard.
Punky Johnson, I have missed you. I'm so excited to see you again. Congratulations.
I miss you too. I'm excited to see you. Big things popping.
You are in New York. I have so many questions for you. Since you last did Films to Be Buried With, when I first met you, you were my favorite stand-up that I saw in LA. You blew my mind. Since then, you have become an SNL cast member, moved to New York. Tell me everything. I want to know so many things. Can I ask you, and if you're bored of talking about these things, you cannot tell me. Firstly, moving to New York. Have you moved with your wife? Are you going back and forth? Are you there full time? How's that working?
So let's just put it out there. Done with the wife.
The wife is done. Let's open with the big news.
Let's address that. We are actively in the middle of a divorce that I've been trying to get for the past 2 years, actually.
Congratulations. I hope this is okay.
Congratulations is a great thing.
Okay, good.
Yes, I'm so glad you said that, because a lot of people say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, nope, it's a good thing to get out of toxic relationships. I just want to put that out there.
I am really glad to hear that, Punky, and I hope it's going all right, these proceedings.
You know what? It's going how it's going. It's been a hassle looking for her and getting her to do these papers, but other than that, I don't even care. As long as it's in process and I'm healthier, my skin looks better,
I smile more.
So
So have you felt free? Have you felt free and single for a while, or are you still in the mess of all that?
So it's been 2 years since I started the process. Mm-hmm. The first year I was a hoe. And I cut up. I was out every night spending money, drinking. I had just got SNL.
Oh, wow. So you were...
Yeah, I had left her before I got SNL, though. So it's not like... Okay. I didn't even have the audition for SNL at that point. But I got out of there. Then after I left her, I started booking stuff. I got SNL. I moved out. I got a new apartment. Like, great things started to happen after I left. And... It's been great. I honestly forgot what the question was because I started rambling.
The question was, have you felt free and single and or are you still in the mess of it, was the question.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay, yes. Yeah. So I hold out for a little bit. I wild out because, you know, I was with her for a long time.
Very young, right? From like teenager.
We were off and on. Yeah. We was together for 12 years and then we broke up for 3 years.
Right.
Well, we was on and off those 3 years. So I was wilding out just a tad bit then. But then I got married. But I don't know what it feels like to be in a relationship with nobody but her.
Mm.
So, like I said, I hold out for a little bit. But then out of the blue, I met this really gentle soul. And I've always said, I'm never getting married again. It was trash, da 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 da. And I'm actually thinking love is possible again.
Whoa.
So
how long's this been?
It's been 1 year now.
Wow. And where did you meet this person?
I met her in Rhode Island. I was on stage, my first time headlining as a comedian. And she's just stands up and she's like, I just want to let you know I came here for you. And I was like, sit your stupid ass down. And you know, we don't like all of that while we
doing this is in
stuff.
The middle of your set, she does it. Yeah, oh, wow. Oh, great.
I was like, shut your ass up. You know me, I start going crazy, popping off at the mouth. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but we had this really interesting, like, 10-minute talk while I was
on stage.
The audience loved it. They was like, no, don't worry about us. Talk to her. And then afterward, I just thought it was what it was. And I went to my green room and I turned around and she was like right there. She was like, now what was all that you was talking back there on stage? And I was like, all right, what you doing? And security came up, the manager came up and they were like, Punky, you all right? We got to get this crazy bitch out of here. I was like, no. I want to see what she done took her mask off by this. So now I see she's very pretty. You know, I'm like, okay, let's talk. And then, of course I was still married. But she didn't know I was in process of the divorce. But her friends were like, she's married. Get out of there. She's married. And she looked at me and she said, you think you're about to have me in a triangle? You think you're about to do that to me? And she like walked out. She's like, I ain't got time. And she walked out. I mean, stormed off walking out. And I was so mad that she left me. Because I'm
she had you hooked.
If you would have listened to my set, you dumb bitch, you would have heard what was going on. So I chased after her and I grabbed her and I turned her around and I was like, if you wasn't chitter chattering doing my whole set, you would have known what's been going on in my life. And then it was like a movie. She just looked at me like, oh, did you chase me? And we just started kissing, didn't even know each other.
Oh my God, this is a movie.
And I've just been at peace ever since that day. Ever since that day, I've just been like, she's such a giving person. Wow. Like, I've never been with a giver. I'm not saying my wife was a taker, but she definitely wasn't a giver. But this woman is just like, she's, you know, she reminds me of my mother. I think that's what it is.
Wow.
Just kind and soft, blunt when she needs to be.
Yeah.
And she can cook her ass off. Woo! Ball. The first time me and her was on FaceTime, I said, what you doing? She said, oh, I'm cooking. And she's from Rhode Island. So I was like, girl, you ain't cooking nothing. And she showed me the pot. She was making smothered cabbage. I said, girl, I know you're not making cabbage. She said, yeah. Because I thought only people from the South knew how to make cabbage.
Yeah. And where's she from? She's from Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
All right.
Small, small town. I call Rhode Island the godforsaken town because the sun is never out. It's always raining or snowing or dark outside. It's like Alaska. It's like, why is it only bright 3 months out of the year out here?
I got two questions because it's very interesting, your story, and it is like a movie. Well, one, it's a very nice thing to say about your mum, I suppose, because I think most people try to avoid ending up with their parents. But if you're actively trying to be with your mum, that's probably, your mum's must be very nice. That's lovely to hear.
I was wondering if that sounded kind of weird.
No, it's not weird. It's lovely. As in, I think most people, I think what happens is, from what I read of therapy books, etc., everyone ends up with their parents. They try not to. They sort of go the opposite way, and then somehow they end up, oh, fuck, you're just like my mum, even though I thought you were the opposite of my mum. Whereas in your case, sounds like you want that, so you may as well skip the bit where you think they're not and go straight towards it. Well, I'm very happy for you. I'm excited to hear this. So that's going on in your love life, and in your work life, you got SNL. Now, well, I guess everyone wants to know all sorts of things about SNL. I guess the first thing I'd like to know is what was your audition? Because I've seen your stand-up. It's some of my favourite stand-up, but I would also say it is stand-up that in no way can be on network TV. And so I wondered what your audition was for SNL.
It cannot. I did a college the other day and I was just like, look, y'all gonna learn today.
You're going to hate this.
I'm not shrinking and I'm not changing nothing up. Y'all going to get this real. Okay. Mm-hmm. But SNL, okay. When I auditioned for SNL, which it was a great season for me because it was the pandemic.
Yes.
And usually if you audition, you have to go to New York. But since it was a pandemic, I had to do everything on videotape.
Wow.
Which was a monstrous victory for me because I am very awkward in room auditions. I know for a fact I would not have gotten this job if I had to go there. Mm-hmm. And second, I was very surprised to get the opportunity to audition because I never thought I would be on network TV ever because of my stand-up. So I was like, me? So off the bat, I just didn't even believe in myself. I was like, I'm gonna do these little characters. They ain't gonna like it, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I sent in six characters. I think I sent in like Kerry Washington, of course, Whoopi Goldberg, Mary J. Blige, and like two other things that I made up or something. And I just sent it in. I forgot I sent it in. I was like, whatever. I'm never going to hear from those people again. And then like, I think a month later, they were like, hey, you know, you got a callback for SNL. And I was like, what? They say, yeah. They say, you can send in the same audition or you can do a different audition. I say, oh, no, hell no. Then I thought it was like, oh, no, no, no. If they really looking, then I'm going to give them something for real.
Right.
So then I sent in, I added six more characters to the previous one. So then I sent in 12 characters.
Wow. What were the other six? Do you remember?
I don't remember. It was like, this is how black people, it's just stuff I started making up. Like, this is how black people break up character. I think I did.
What was the premise of this is how black people break up, please?
It was like a It was like, it started off where I had this piece of paper and my husband came home and I was like, how you doing, Mr. Pockets? Why do I call you Mr. Pockets? Because I found this in your pockets. That's why. And I was like, I can't take it no more. Get out. And then I put like this crazy dramatic music in the background and I put my face really into the camera like this. After I told him to get out, I said, you really gonna leave after I told you to leave? Because you know that's... You're not gonna stay after I told you to go. You're not gonna stay and fix it. You know what? Don't try to stay because I told you to stay. And now that I say stay, you try to stay. Get out! Where you going? Like,
that's great.
It was funny in the audition, of course. But and then I had all these crazy wigs. They kept coming off. But I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to try to make them perfect. If they're coming off, let them come off. I'm doing this, because I felt that it added whatever it added. Because I was like, at that point, I had nothing to lose, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, now it's a 50% chance you're going to get it or you're not. And I ended up getting it. It was so crazy. It was very bizarre.
Tell me about, if you can, like, day one, were you very nervous? Was it overwhelming? Were you cool? Like,
one thing about SNL is they are very comforting. You know, when you go in that build, the one thing that was bad was the COVID situation, and we really couldn't make friends last year. And I was kind of really just on my own, and I just got thrown in a pool and was told to swim. Mm-hmm. But that was not their intention. It was just COVID. I was nervous, but everybody was so kind. And if I needed help, I got help. And they're not, it's a good job to have. It's stressful. Very, very stressful. You work every single day. Sometimes you work all day. They got days like you're always on call, even when you're not there, you're on call.
Right.
Like for instance, this is what I mean by on call. Like Friday, I was off on Friday, which was great. I got the box all day. I was with my trainer all day, watching people spar, kind of learning footwork and stuff. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go do some comedy tonight. But then something told me, don't do it. Something said, go home. So I come home. I done put some chicken in the oven. I got some asparagus on the stove. I'm cooking. I done took all my clothes off. I'm butt naked. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy. All of a sudden, my phone started ringing. 10:45. We got to get you. We got a driver come and pick you up at this time. You got to be on set by 11:15. I'm like, oh, Lord. Well, I guess I got to take the chicken out the oven and put a fucking bra on. So I get out there. I go to work. As soon as I get to work, they say, you know what? We gonna do it tomorrow.
Oh, fuck. You like my chicken.
But that's why I can't make... Like, people always think I'm giving them the runaround. And I'm like, no, I actually really cannot... Every single time I book something with somebody or plan something with somebody, it is a 90% chance I'm gonna have to cancel.
You're like a doctor. You're a doctor of sketch comedy.
Right. So that's why I'm just like, you know what? Let's play... I'm always telling people, let's play it by ear. Monday is a good day because Monday we work from home. Everything's on Zoom on Mondays.
Right.
So Monday's a good day.
And how is the, because, you know, I work with Jason Sudeikis, as you know, and he was on it for 10 years, I believe. And I've spoken to quite a few people who've done SNL, and it sounds like it must be very hard. I guess the thing I'm curious about is like managing your own ego in terms of, every week you cannot be on it. You can be on it next week. You cannot be on it the week after that. So there's no. It's a constant roller coaster of you're big. You're not big. And how do you cope with that? How do you cope with that part of it?
Meditation.
Yeah, is it?
I have never meditated in my life. I've always been Christian. I've always prayed, but this job has driven me into going back to therapy and to meditation.
Right.
It's really, really like, the great thing about it is, it's nothing personal. It's what it is.
Clearly not,
And it messes with your heart. You know, like, and I wear my heart on my sleeve, but good thing I got thick skin because my mother don't play all of that foolishness.
No.
So I meditate every day, at least 15 minutes a day. I say my little mantra. I take deep, very, very deep breaths. And I just cope. And it has zenned me out this season.
Right.
You know, of course, I can't tell you that I'm numb. I can't say that. I do still feel, but I feel it better now. Now I'm, at first I'll be like, man, what am I doing here? Now I'm kind of just like, you know, it is what it is. You know, I got paid. I'm on a really great show and this is a great problem to have. I got my bills paid. I have a great family. Like now I'm looking at the good things more and complaining less.
And it's a hell of a sort of training ground for everything as well, right? You're constantly creating, constantly writing, constantly.
Yes.
And what about the actual performing it when like last week? I'm glad I'm seeing you this week. Cause last week you had a banging sketch, and was it? Do you get nervous when you're doing it, or is it just fuck it? It's happening.
Sometimes it really, really depends. But for the most part, like when I get on a comedy stage, like you know how it is, like. I'm very, very nervous before they call my name to go on stage. But once I'm up there, I'm up there. And I just feel like I'm home because this is what I was born to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not too much of a character actor, but if they ask me to do something, I'm pretty sure that I'm capable of doing it. But as of right now, I just pride myself on having really good comedic timing as to, you know, why I think I'm still there because I do have the potential to be a character actor. I just don't know how to get the things in my head out.
Right. Yeah.
But they're helping me to do it, so that's good.
I relate to this, but I've started to think it's different. As in, a different point is when I do stand up, I think I'm always nervous, always, every time, just before it can. It can be, it depends on sort of the size of the gig. It might be 5 minutes before going on. It might be half a day. Could be a week, depends how big the gig is. But once I'm on stage and I've taken the mic, I'm fine. Always, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think about it and I'm like, why do I go through that? Why does my body sort of not remember? You're going to be fine. What are you nervous about? But I've started to think that it's not necessarily nerves, that it's like adrenaline, that it's your body going, you need this bit because this is the thing that's then going to make you good once you're there. Do you think that?
Never thought about it that way, but now that you say it, I'm like, I can agree. I can agree to that. Because every time I have that feeling, I sit there, I shake it off. I'm like, this is what you here for. This what you here for, baby. You know, you got to talk to yourself. Come on now. Come on, because guess what? You're going out there regardless.
Yes.
You can't stop the show. So let's go.
You're going to do it anyway. So fucking do it. This is my new thing. You're going to do it anyway. Why waste the time where you worry about should I be doing it? You're fucking doing it. You know you're going to do it.
Can't stop the show. The carousel never stopped turning. Let's go.
Can't stop the fucking show. You wanted you wanted the show. It's fucking happening.
Oh yeah.
Punky Johnson.
Yeah.
I like you, so I have decided to bring you back to life. You have been resurrected, but. What time in your life would you like to be brought back to? The present or the past? Is there something you regret you would like to fix? Where would you like to come back to, Punky Johnson? Please say now.
Present. Now. Right now.
Love it.
Right now.
You wouldn't change anything in history. You wouldn't fix COVID. You'd just come back to now.
No. I got this job because of COVID.
Yeah, okay.
I love COVID-19.
Okay, come back to now. I think that's a lovely, lovely positive thing. Now, when you've been brought back to life, everyone is very happy to see you. They still want to talk about your life through films. It's not that much different from being dead in a way, but you're alive again, so that's good, isn't it, mostly? Anyway, the first thing they ask you is, the people excited to see you, including, I'm very excited you're back. What was the last film you saw, Punky Johnson?
The reason why I'm so happy to do this and I needed it to be on a Monday is because every Sunday I lay down on the phone and watch movies with my girl. She's long distance. So we watch movies together. We're so weird and we're weird. And we watched three movies yesterday. And the last one we watched was Any Given Sunday with LL, Al Pacino, Jamie Foxx. Yep. Yep.
I love Any Given Sunday. Does it hold up? I actually haven't seen it in years, but I really loved it back in the day.
That's why I watched it, because I haven't seen it since probably the day it came out. And when I saw it was on Netflix, after we watched her two cute little movies, I said, can we watch a football movie?
What were her cute movies?
We watched Monster-in-Law. And actually, I do really like this other movie I'm about to say is actually on the list because I really, really like this movie. But Something's Gotta Give. We watched that one too.
Is Monster in Law. That's with Jane Fonda and J-Lo?
And Wanda Sykes. Yes.
Wow. I mean, it's a heck of a cast. Is it good?
Oh, my God. You know, Monster in Law, man, Jane Fonda is hilarious. She just, everything she do, all her choices she made in that, I was just like, I love this lady. I love this lady. And then Wanda Sykes come in with her stupid side comments and remarks and just holding up the crazy weirdo mind. Oh, my God. It's just so funny. And then, of course, you know, Jennifer Lopez is one of the prettiest women I've ever laid my eyes on. I love her. I think she's so sexy.
She's my number one, I think.
Yes, yes. And
you'll have to fight me. You'll have to fight me for her, Punky.
Oh, my God. And you'll probably win. Oh, no, we will fight Ben together.
Yes. Then we will
battle. Or maybe we can talk to her and see where her head is on polygamy.
Yeah, maybe we can. I'm very happy with that arrangement, actually. And also hearing that you've been training in boxing, I don't want to fight you. I want us to all live in harmony.
In harmony.
You, me, and J-Lo. What a life. What a life.
That'll be great.
Who was the other one? Is it Monster in Law? What was the other cute film?
The other one is something I actually have on the list because I can't lie. It is one of my favorite movies. Is Something's Gotta Give.
Oh, great film.
Love it. And, you know, come on. I mean, it's Jack Nicholson, you know, playing not the bad guy, you know?
And Diane Keaton doing a very good crying montage, isn't she? So hang on, Any Given Sunday holds up.
I forgot how kind of boring Any Given Sunday. And I felt so bad to put my girl through that. But you know how it is. I'm like, we started it. We got to finish it. I can't be the person fighting for this movie. And then I'm like, you know what? So I had to even force myself to watch it. It was just, you know, it's... I was like, why did I pick this? I was like, this is why I haven't seen it since it came out, you know?
Punky Johnson, who do you think should play you in the film of your life?
That was very interesting. I was like, I was thinking and thinking and thinking. And then I was like, you know what? Just give the narcissistic answer, me.
Okay, so you're playing yourself, but what if someone else has written it? And they've changed stuff. You're like, hey, this isn't how it happened, but you have to play it like you signed on. You have no creative control in this film. It's the Punky Johnson film. You have no creative control in it, but you are playing Punky Johnson.
You know who I think would do a good job?
Go on.
And I know this might sound really, really crazy because she's older. She's maybe about 15 years older than me. Freaking Taraji P. Henson could probably
jump in that lovely choice.
Oh, man. Taraji can tell Taraji what you want, she gonna give it to you. Stat.
Yeah, I actually think that's a really, really good choice.
Oh yeah, you put some dreadlocks in her head and give her the script. Just let her go. Just let her do whatever she do.
Should we make this film? I think that's a fucking film. I would watch the Punky Johnson story starring her or you.
I could play the little me. She could play the older me.
Oh, I really like that. Really good answer. What, Punky Johnson, is the most romantic film you've ever seen? Now, we know your idea of romance is being shouted at in a club by someone that reminds you of your mom. So what is the most romantic film you've ever seen?
So I mentioned this earlier, but right. I think it's Something's Gotta Give, which I love it because it just comes full circle. And I think everybody can relate to that movie, whether you're young or whether you're old. And everyone understands... Well, I'm not going to say everyone. I can't speak for everybody. But I would say for the most part, people understand what a breakup is and what it feels like to not know if you're going to ever love again. And then on Jack Nicholson's side is he never was in love with anybody. I don't know if he was afraid. Like, you know, you can just tell that he was just afraid to love or be loved. Like, he was struggling with his own inner situation. And he was 63 years old and he finally... fell in love for the first time. And I'm just like, at some part, it was tragic, you know, because he couldn't be loved or allow himself to be loved. But then what I loved about it was they allowed him to, he went through his past to understand why he was the way he was and why he acted the way he did. And that's when he was like, hey, I can love. So I love the fact that they made him do his homework on himself.
Yeah.
To hold himself accountable for the person that he was.
Yeah.
And he and what I love, he went got his bitch. He went to Paris. He said, oh, where's she at, Paris? Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to get her. That's right. And sat at the dinner table with her man.
Mm-hmm.
Giving her them eyes. That's them puppet dog bold. Eyes.
That's bold.
Come on. That's balls right there. That's big. And paid for the meal. I'm just like, man, look, it was the most romantic, most funny gangster movie about love. But for the most part, it just resonates with me because you can find love even after 20 years. Because, you know, I was with my wife for 20 years. You can there is somebody out there. If you just, you know, they got somebody out there and we can all be loved. We can do it.
Can I ask you a very personal question? If this is too personal, whatever, we can cut it. But breaking up with someone you've been with for 20 years, like, was it? Must have been so hot. Like, are there still so many aspects of your life that are entwined with her in terms of friends, in terms of stuff like that? Or is it the hardest thing
I ever had to do, walking away from that situation, understanding that you're in something that is not beneficial to your mental health, your well-being, or your spirit, understanding that and coming to the conclusion that it's not going to get better. That is also hard. But literally walking out of the door is the hardest part. Oh my God. I cried and was just having a self-pity party for such a long time. But I could tell you, once you out the door, you know, then you get to decide to start healing. It's a choice. You can sit and drown in this wave of defeat. Or you can say, you know what? Nope. I'm about to start healing and I'm about to do the work.
How long do you think the drowning part?
The crazy thing is, I was drowning inside of my marriage, lying to people, making them think that it was okay. Lying to my parents because I didn't want them to worry about me. I was just a lion. And I was just drowning and I felt icky and ridiculous. And don't get it twisted. I loved her, but we was just going through stuff that was way... It was just past what we could fix. And I was just like, no, I got too much to live for. I got too many things that I want to do. And if I stay here, I'm not going to be able to do them.
I'm very happy for you.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. But the only thing I'm sad about is she have the dogs. And the dogs were my heart.
No.
Those were my kids, man. And I'm never going to see them again. But
really?
I get to start a new family. I get to get more dogs. And one thing about her, she was, I'm not going to call her a shitty wife, but she was a shitty wife, but she was a great dog mom. I'm at least at peace with that.
Okay. Yeah, that's amazing. That's such a big deal. I mean, amazing. Congratulations.
I'm happy as hell.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
And I don't have no residual feelings. The baggage is gone.
Amazing. Amazing, Punky.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program. That's right! They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Johnson, Funky Johnson, what is the best film you ever saw that you never want to see again?
The Wrong Missy. That's what David Spade.
David Spade, yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. It was hilarious, but I don't need to see it again.
That's really funny. This is the first comedy answer I've had to that question.
I don't need to see it no more. but it was hilarious, and I do recommend seeing it at least one time.
Exactly one time. What is the best action film you've ever seen? Do you like an action film?
So, look, my favorite action is Kung Fu. I love Ip Man. IP Man is the shit. You get action and you get to be educated on Japanese and Chinese culture at the same time. Man, I think it's Wing Chun. So I'm going to box for another year. That'll be 2 years boxing. And then afterward, I'm going to incorporate Wing Chun.
Yeah.
I'm going to do both of them. I've always wanted to learn Wing Chun. Soon as I saw Ip Man, which was, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, maybe. Yeah. It could have been less. I don't know. But as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, I'm going to learn this. I'm going to learn it.
And are you learning it? Are you actually going to fight or you're just learning it?
I can't call that. I don't know. But I do want to fight in boxing. I do want to. I'm almost to the level of sparring right now. I think my trainer said, like, in the next month or two, I'll be able to start sparring with people.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm getting up there. I'm getting strong.
Okay. You bloody be careful, please. Thank you.
I'm getting strong. And it's good for my knees. You know, we getting old. And we need to stay active.
Yeah, you got to look after that face, Punky. Yes. I'm not having that face ruined. What, of all the films, if you had to, which film do you think you could have made and why?
Oh, man, let me tell y'all.
Oh, you got it.
Set It Off.
Oh,
Set It Off.
Great.
Jada Pinkett, Queen Latifah, Vivica Fox. I forgot the other one name, and no disrespect, but I did forget a name. But man, what? That's my type of movie right there. We gonna get together and we gonna rob the bank because the government ain't shit. Y'all gonna make me get fired from my job because I knew this man. I didn't help him rob this bank. Then you gonna kill my homegirl's little brother who had a scholarship, even though his ass said he wasn't going to college no more after Jada Pinkett had done gave her body to that man for that money, that car seller dealership man. She took the hardest bath I ever saw on TV. She was really getting that man off of her. And y'all gonna do all of that and nobody's held accountable for that? Really? Or we gonna show y'all. And then Blair Underwood, he come in. He getting his bank cased and he don't even know it. That go to show you, Bob. When Chris Brown said these hoes ain't loyal, he was talking about Jada Pinkett and what she did to Blair Underwood in that movie. How you gonna go and rob that man bank?
So Set It Off is your sort of this is my heart.
Yo, if they do a Set It Off 2, I hope they don't do a Set It Off remake. You cannot remake that movie. It is a classic. Leave it alone. But if they try to do something like it, like a Set It Off Part 2 or something like that. If I'm not in it, I'm going to light this world on fire.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can be... The reason you can't be in the Punky Johnson biopic is because you're doing the Set It Off 2. Or would you do a Set It Off TV show?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. It's good to know. I'll make a note.
Yes, indeed.
What film have you pretended to like to impress people?
Man, look. I pretended to watch it. I didn't even watch it. She liked this movie called The New York Minute.
It's with the Olsen twins.
I don't like movies like that. I'm just like, they so... My girl, by the way, she, you know, like, we come from the hood. So to like movies like these, I really be like, we already like Something's Gotta Give, but New York Minute?
That's one step too far. I can see that.
New York Minute? like, oh, man. She's like, you watching? I'm like, mm-hmm. Whole time I was on my whole time I was on my iPad watching something else.
What even is the premise of New York Minute? They're twins and they're busy or something. What's the...
But I didn't pay attention. Look, you know how when the movie first start on Netflix, they give you like a little trailer. Like a little... Yeah, not even a trailer. What you call it? I'm having a brain fart.
A scene?
They go,
teaser?
What is it? Like a synopsis or something? They give like the...
Synopsis.
The through line. They give you the through line. I didn't even read it. I didn't even read the through line. I was like...
You just need from the poster. This is not for me.
I'm like, I ain't watching this.
I mean...
Eventually, she's going to say... Because every month or every other month, she's like, tell me something you've never told me before. You know, all those stupid relationship questions. And eventually, she's going to ask me something like that. And I'm going to say, I didn't watch that fucking movie.
I still don't really know what a New York Minute is.
No.
What film have you never seen that you think it's mad you've never seen it?
Honestly?
Mm-hmm.
Blow with Johnny Depp.
That is mad. What's the film you love that you don't expect anyone else to like?
Sometimes I'm even embarrassed to say this. I love all Madea movies.
Oh, listen, Punky Johnson, that is such a good answer. And please elaborate on all your reasons and working out to get there.
I don't know. They just so trashy and funny, and you can always predict what's going to happen next. And I just think it's, I don't know, you know, and then pairing that to the rumors that I hear about Tyler Perry, about how he just shoot scenes one time and then you go. He'd be like, we ain't got time for this shit. Bloop, bloop. All right, cool. And I'm just like, and when you watch the movies, you can see it. Like,
this man was in a rush.
He was like, he don't give a shit.
This man only had a New York Minute to film this. But aren't they really, forgive me, I haven't seen the Madea films, but I do know, the things I know about them is, one, everyone thinks they're rubbish, but two, they're incredibly successful, right? They're massively popular and successful, even though everyone pretends they don't like them.
Yes, I think it is. My favorite part is Madea. And I think just growing up in the Black community, we always had a Big Mama. And Madea reminds us all of Big Mama. Mm. Our grandparents, they were very, very blunt about things. You're not about to be coming up in here crying, saying all these sayings that we never understood. Don't come up in here smelling like outside. Got my house smelling like outside. I better be in here before the streetlights come on. They got some cold drinks in there, but they hot. Like grandparents. Big Mama says some crazy shit. But the point is, she always on point with everything she say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just reminded all of us. She just reminds me of the things that my grandmother would say.
Right. Yeah.
And that's why I watch it. And violent. You know, I love when she bring the violence in, you know. Peace be still. I got my peace right here, you know.
Do you have a favorite Madea film of all of the franchise?
I would think probably Diary of a Mad Black Woman was probably my favorite. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Shamar Moore come up in there with that horrible braided wig. I love Charles in the hot tub about to die. He looking like that. And, you know, like, I'm a relationship person, so it was about getting over a relationship. That woman was going through a divorce, a very painful divorce. She didn't understand why her husband didn't love her anymore. She did every single thing from that man. It was about her starting over from the bottom and learning how to be an adult all by herself again. Be a woman all by herself again. Taking that baggage, taking that bitterness out of her mouth. She had to start from scratch. No money. She was humbled, living in, you know, going back to being poor, like she had to get a job. Like she literally had to start from scratch. And in the end, she became happy. And that's the thing. It's okay. I am not afraid to start from scratch anymore. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But that's because I had to start from scratch. But before that, I was afraid to start from scratch.
Yeah. I mean, I understand. And I think that happens a lot. It's everything is fear, right? As soon as you actually experience the thing you're scared of, it's always like, oh well, this is fine. Everything's fine. Yeah. It'll always be fine.
It's all fear.
It's,
you know,
the fear of it. Yeah.
And it's all comfort too, you know. Mm. You know, you know, once we get comfortable, things don't change. Things don't change till we get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that sucks for me because I am a lazy. I am lazy and I am comfortable. I hate when I have to adjust. It makes me sick. But it's also, it's helpful because it's growth, you know. So
Yeah. I mean, you've absolutely completely sold the Madea film. So, well done. When you say you don't expect people to like them, I'm like, I'd be surprised they don't. They sound fucking brilliant. What is the film? Now, maybe you've even done this recently. What is the film you would show a lover as a test to see if you should be together? Is there any film that if your lady didn't like, you'd be like, fuck you, you're out. Please tell me.
The one that I chose was Fun with Dick and Jane. Because if you're not about to sit through the mud with me, if we can't watch this movie and be like, would you do that? No, we out. Because, babe, let's go. We got to rob people, we got to sell. If I need to know you in it. And that is the film. Because they lost everything.
Yes. You like a robbery, a bank robbery.
If we got to do it, we got to do it. Yeah. Let's go. It ain't my fault. Because I feel like this. Like, I feel like for the most part, we all good people. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel. That's how I choose to view the world. We all good people. So if we are here minding our business, doing our jobs, taking care of our family, and the world just up and fucks you, that ain't fair. That's not fair. I'm in this world. I'm doing exactly what the government told me to. I'm not cheating. I'm not stealing. I'm not doing nothing. And then you want to take everything from me and I did nothing wrong? Fuck that. We robbing this bank. You robbing this bank with me, bitch? You better say, and we out.
What did she say when you put this to her?
Oh, she down. Baby girl is down.
Yeah, she sounded like it. I'm really pleased to hear that. I can relate.
Baby girl is down.
What is the film that made you the most uncomfortable?
So the way I can answer this question is, honestly, I don't really get too uncomfortable with things because I'm an artist and I have a really weird mind. So whatever happens, I'm like, okay, great. This is art.
right, great.
What makes me uncomfortable still to this day is watching movies that have sex scenes in them if my parents are in the room. I'd be like, oh my God, I cannot do this still. Me and my parents, if I know they have sex in it, I'm not going to watch it with them. But if I don't know and the scene just happens, I'm just like, oh God. We watched what is that movie? Dang on it, I'm catching another brain fart. We watched the movie with that old time singer. It's on Hulu. Billie Holiday, I think it is.
Oh yeah, the People versus Billie Holiday or the...
Right, we watched that.
Okay.
Boy, they had a sex scene. I was like, okay, that wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. Then they had another one. I was like, oh my God. I didn't think they were going to have this. Then they had another sex scene where it was very intimate because Billie was used to just sleeping with men and that didn't care about her. And then this one man was just doing her. And then he was like, I don't want to, you know, violently do you anymore. I'm going to make love to you. I was just like, oh my God. I just fake sleep. I was just acting like I was sleeping. I just can't. I'm just like, I can't believe I'm watching this with my parents.
You all just sat in total silence.
I was shocked at all the sex.
Yeah.
You know?
It's
and it was like violent. You know, like one man like slapped her and grabbed her and was just drilling her in the wall. I was like, oh my God. Meanwhile, if I watch that with my girlfriend, she's like, I want you to do that to me. I'm like, oh Lord.
Please don't say that my parents are right here.
I can't. But that's what I can't do that anymore.
That's a great answer. Oh, I mean, a terrible segue into the next question, though. If you could show a child one film, what would it be?
Scarface. Let's go. That's right. I think every child should see it.
How old is the child?
Zero to 10. I don't think 0 to 10 should be watching. I don't think 0 to 12 should watch that movie. But if I had to pick a movie, it'll be that one.
Because you believe it tells you everything you need to know.
It's a classic. Mm-hmm. Scarface is a classic. It would be my pleasure to show it to a kid. with their parents' permission, of course. And you know, and you get to see the ride. But you know, look, overall, mm-hmm. yes, it was about a lot of yayo in that movie. Okay,
yeah.
But overall, it shows you how you could come from Colombia mm-hmm. and be a king. It shows you how the grind starts. And a lot of kids don't understand that shit these days. A lot of kids just want a damn spoon in their mouth. They just want things given to them right now. And it's like, no, bitch, you got to go out there and work like the rest of us did. Earn it. So that movie, to me, shows you how to earn it. Hustle. Be a man of your word. This how you get the money. This how you get the power. This how you get the bitches. But you can do that without selling drugs. But it also shows ultimately, if you do sell drugs and get deep in this game, you die.
Yeah, you will eventually die.
Or go to jail.
Yeah. But you will die in quite a sort of epic,
mm-hmm.
pretty cool way. There's also that. Yep. It'll look cool. At least it'll look cool.
Yeah. Get the yayo.
Punky Johnson. What a bloody hero you are. I really, really like you a lot. Now, you've been wonderful, as wonderful as you were when I killed you. I'm so glad that I brought you back to life. In fact, I'm so glad you've done so well. I'm going to let you live.
Yay!
But having said that, that doesn't mean I won't kill you in the future. So...
All right.
What I need to know is there's a lawyer here and he wants to know, what film will you be leaving in your will just in case you are killed by me in the future?
All right. Number one, off top, Sister Act, because Sister Act is just what it is. Point blank, period. I should need no explanation on that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And number two, believe it or not, I love Sandra Bullock. And I love The Blind Side.
I do not believe it. That is a real twist.
The Blind Side, I just think it's so much. It's just, I just love it because it's black and it's white people. It's just so much racism going on and discrimination. And just, it shows you that that's not happening everywhere.
Mm.
Not everybody like that. Black people could take in white people. White people could take in black people. And the same with Asians and Mexicans and Latinas and everybody else. It just shows me that we could be one, damn it. They took in this big black man and mm-hmm. gave him a home, dude.
Yeah.
Sent them to college, man. Gave this dude a future. Didn't know this man from Adam. And he wasn't even playing ball. I could see if he was playing ball already. And
yeah.
They spotted him out and took them and did it for that reason. They simply did it to care for another human being.
Hmm.
The rest of it is the universe and God repaying them for doing something great. So, and I want to do that one day. You know, I was telling my girl, I'm like, yo, I want to save a kid. I want to adopt. I want to put a kid in a good home. Yeah.
That's a nice idea. Do you have a timeline for that?
Oh, we already talking to men. We about to start. We about to have a baby. Like next year around this time,
oh, really?
I expect for her to be pregnant. You know, I'm not having no damn baby.
That's already been decided. Was there any discussion between the two of you as to who was going to carry the baby or you were like?
She's great. She wants to. She's a family-oriented woman. She has 22 nieces and nephews. Her family is huge. She has a solid family foundation. One of the things I love about her.
So you're looking for men... As in, you're going to use a man that you know? Is that the plan?
Yeah, because I talk to a lot of my gay friends about babies, and mm-hmm. they do, like, the artificial insemination and stuff, which is fine, but I want my child to know their dad. I want a man in their life. I want them to know what it feels like to have a father. I want to give them a sense of simplicity and normalcy, even though I still feel like I'm normal, but... The world doesn't. So I'm not that type of dyke to be like, no men. Mm. No, let this baby have a father.
Right.
And I'm going to tell her that, look, you ain't, you know, I'm not going to put you on child support. But when I tell you, come get this little motherfucker, come get him.
So you're like looking at friends of yours, right? You're looking at people you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, it's gone, you know, the business side is going to get a little technical and, you know, but I would love for even him to get married and have a family. Like, we got to make sure his girl not tripping about it. And even if he did have a baby with another woman, I'm like, here, go be with your other family. Yeah. You know, more people are better than no people, period. The more the merrier. Let's have all the support, man. Let's do it.
I'm going to have to come up with a third way of doing this podcast so that I can hear, we can all hear the rest of this in a year and a half. I want to know how this all panned out. And if I'm not doing the podcast, I just want you to tell me. I'm just going to check in.
Always check in. Always.
Punky Johnson, you're just one of the greats. And I really love you. And thank you for doing this again.
I appreciate you.
Is there anything you would like to tell people to look out for or to watch or to listen to? I suppose SNL for starters.
Yeah, support your girl on SNL. I just booked like a nice role on this movie called Bottoms. I don't know when that's coming out, but I'm going to New Orleans to film it next week.
Oh, great.
I got two really dope, solid scenes in it.
Will you stay with your family?
I told them that I could, because you know me. I'm like, yo, y'all could save on this budget. They're like, no, come to the hotel. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Like, my whole goal now is to... Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry about that. That was rude. And my whole goal is to now, you know, focus on keeping my job at SNL and finding work for the summer, because you don't get paid in the summer. Yeah, you got to go out there and hustle.
Yeah.
Every summer.
How much stand-up are you managing to do while you're there? Not much.
Where at?
In New York.
Oh, none. Zero. There's no time. There's no time. And like what happened to me Friday, like I told y'all, if I was somewhere like in Harlem doing comedy, I would have got screwed. Yeah. They would have been like, bitch, didn't we tell you on call? Why are you all the way in Harlem?
You could do some stand-up in the summer.
But in the summertime, I plan on staying in New York. I plan on getting in a top shape, boxing 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And eating good. And then the weekends, like I would leave Friday morning, get back Sunday night from doing comedy in whatever city.
Great. Everyone's got to go and see you. Punky Johnson, God bless you. Thank you for doing this. Have a lovely life.
God bless you too. It was my complete pleasure. It's always an honor in your presence. Even though we threw the phone, I still feel you.
I feel you.
And I love you, buddy. Anytime.
Okay. Yes,
and congratulations to you for everything, because I have a freaking friend that has an Emmy, bitch.
yes. Okay. Yes, that you do.
Amazing.
All right. I'm going to stop the recording and then ask you loads more questions. Okay.
All right.
Bye. Thank you.
You got it.
So that was episode 195. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for the extra 20 minutes of chat, secrets, videos, beginnings and openings, things that changed your life, all of that with Punky Johnson at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. Go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, but write about the film that means the most to you and why. My neighbour Maureen loves reading it, finds it very moving. She loves it. Do it for Maureen, I suppose. Thank you so much to everyone for listening. I do hope you're all well. Thank you so much to Punky for doing the show again. Thanks to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to Acast for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Lydon for the photography. Come and join me next week for another brilliant guest. I'll tell you this. We're coming up to 200 episodes. I don't know what's going to happen, but we should all prepare ourselves that at episode 200, I might take a break from the podcast. Don't panic. I'm not going to end it forever. But we might pause it. I've done it every week. 200 coming up. So it's a big anniversary for the show. Let's see. We'll see what happened. I'm thinking about some stuff. I've got some plans, some ideas. We'll see. But just like, let's have a think about the future, shall we? And I hope you're all well. Sending you all love. In the meantime, have a wonderful week. And please, now more than ever, be excellent to each other.
Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind. Sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees, and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism, and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.